here right now in the room. He's moving. He's speaking. His word, when it goes out, it never returns void. His word brings life. His word breaks chains. His word brings healing. His word sets captives free. That's what he's going to do in the room today. He does it every week. He just keeps showing up. This is a house of miracles. This is a house of healing. This is a house where barren wombs are opened. We got testimonies of miracle babies all the time in this house. If you got friends that want to have a baby and somebody's told them, some doctors told them they can't have a baby, tell them to get to the house. There's miracles in the house. There's miracles in his presence. If you got friends that are sick and suffering, tell them to get to the house. There's healing in his house. There's healing in his presence. We walk on holy ground. Everywhere we tread, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. There's healing in the house. You're his house. You carry that presence when you invite Jesus in. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you. Let me tell you something. If you've never invite him in today. Don't wait another second. Don't waste another moment. He wants to dwell with you. He loves you. He's going to do a miracle in you today. I just felt this passage getting stirred up as we were going through worship. Exodus 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea when they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and they found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What should we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. The Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. The tree turns bitter waters sweet. Set your eyes on the tree. In the Hebrew, the same word for tree is used for the cross. There's no difference. Set your eyes on the tree. Set your eyes on the cross. He turns bitter waters sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them, and he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, do what's right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. He still heals you. He wants to heal you. If you're here today and you're like, no, that sounds like health and wealth, that sounds like prosperity, that's not true. I want you to ask yourself, who told you that? Who told you that he doesn't heal anymore? Trace it back. Just like in the Garden of Eden. When God came looking for Adam and Eve, and he said, "Where are you?" And Adam comes out and says, "We were ashamed and naked." And what does God say to him? He says, "Who told you that?" He says, "Well, Eve, the woman you gave me told me that." Who told you that, Eve? The serpent. The liar, the deceiver. There's things we've been told. There's things we've been taught. And we have to take it back and we have to test it against the word of God. Does God want you sick? No. Who told you that? He heals. He healed his people then. He still heals his people now. There's healing in the room right now. I just feel that for everyone in here. He wants you to know, I'm still a healer. Reach out and grab the hem of his robe because he's still a healer. He's doing it. Just close your eyes for a second. Begin to imagine this scene. As you look upon this tree and you see Moses go and he throws the tree in the water. Look upon the tree. Look upon the cross. Look upon Jesus. Father God, we come to you right now. We just bend our knees, we bow. I just keep hearing humility and meekness. We come before you in humility and meekness today. No pride, no arrogance. We just come back this morning, and God, I ask and pray that you would help us trace back what is from you and what is from man. That we would answer the question today, who told you that? That we would hear your voice asking, who told you that? Who told you? Who said that over your life? Who said it had to be this way? Who said it couldn't be any other way? Who said I couldn't do that? Who told you that? Father God, I pray that you would just reveal those lies to us. That we would trace them back to where they came from, and that we would just look on your word today and we would know that we stand on holy ground, that holiness dwells within us, that when we invite you in, you unite with our spirit and you begin to sanctify us, you begin to renew us, you begin to bring us back to life, because that's who you are and that's what you still do. Jesus, I pray for healing in this room, that you would just come in like a wave. That you would come in waves upon waves. That we would just look upon the tree that turns bitterness into sweetness. Jesus. Jesus, we just feel that sweetness in the room. The sweetness of your presence. There's peace. Anxiety, leave. Worry, leave. Fear, leave. Right now, go in the name of Jesus. There's just sweetness in your presence here in the room. Jesus. Pray that strongholds would be torn down. Demons flee at the name of Jesus. They have no power anymore. Captives are set free. That's why he came. Thank you, Jesus. Fear, go. Holy Spirit, come, have your way in us. I just hear him saying right now, it's time to eat. Let's open up the word. It's the bread of life. We're going to eat as a family today. We're going to eat from the word. He's got life for us. Jesus, in your holy name, we pray. Amen. If you want the notes for today, this is a new thing we're doing. You can text Rev Notes to 94,000. Because I know some of you have expressed, sometimes I go really fast up here. I go from verse to verse, and you're like, I can't flip in the pages fast enough. I'm like, oh, maybe we should put notes out there for people. That way, if you want them, you got everything I'm looking at, you're seeing right now. If you want those notes, you can look at the notes. Rev notes to 94,000. We still highly encourage paper Bible, but I understand sometimes I'm flying up here because I'm excited about God's word, and I know what his word is doing. It's going out, and it's changing lives. There's seed being sown. Every time we're sharing God's word here, there's a seed being sown, and we can't even begin to imagine what he's going to grow out of the seed that is being sown when his word goes out, when his word is declared. And so sometimes I do get going fast because I'm excited because I want to give you as much of the bread of life as I can. But I also know sometimes it's hard to flip from Corinthians to Genesis in a matter of seconds. So there you go. You got everything you need right there. Genesis 3, verses 6 through 13. I'm not going to read you the whole thing. I summarized it already. I'm going to skip down to verse 11. Adam, he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Never had he hidden himself from the Lord. Never had he heard his voice before and felt fear. But here in this moment, he felt fear. And what did God say to him? He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. He begins to trace it back. Who told you that? There's things that we've been told, things that we've been taught, and we think, some of us with the best of intentions, we think that they're from God. We probably even heard them in church at one time. We heard them from a pastor. We heard them from a teacher. We heard them from a parent. Who told you that? We need to trace these things back and realize, does it actually line up with what God's word says about you? Does it actually line up with what God's word says about this situation, about what you're going through? Does it actually line up with what his word says? Because if it doesn't line up with his word, then he didn't tell you that. He didn't give you that word. Trace it back. The man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Every lie, every deception, it all began with the serpent. It all began with the liar. That's what he is. That's what he does. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What did he come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. He wants you dead. He wants to take everything, all of God's promises for you, for your life. He wants to take them. He wants to steal them from you. He wants to destroy everything that God wants to build in your life. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your friendships, your relationships. He wants to destroy everything he can, because that's how he does it. If he can steal, if he can destroy, he knows he can kill. He knows he can bring you down with him. That's what he wants. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Strongholds. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. This was a word Paul had sent to the church. He wrote this to the church. And sometimes, some of us, we grow up in the church and we think, devil, demons, we don't even talk about it. We don't even deal with it. And that's exactly what he wants. Do not be ignorant of the devil's devices, of his schemes, how he is working. Paul tells us that. He warns us about that. Don't be ignorant. If you're ignorant, that's how the devil gets you. And so that's why we preach and we teach on this so often. You need to know there is still an enemy and he wants you dead. He wants your life destroyed. He wants to steal everything from you. That's what he wants. And if you are ignorant, you are easy prey. And so we talk about this all the time. We want our church to be wise or shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Because that's what Jesus told his disciples. We need to walk in wisdom and innocence all at the same time. We need to tear down strongholds. How do we tear down the strongholds? First of all, if you are ignorant of the fact that the devil is trying to build up strongholds within you, you're easy prey. You're easy prey for him. If you don't know that that's how he's working. What's he say in Ephesians? Don't give the devil a foothold. Anger is one of the easiest footholds. Offense is one of the easiest footholds for the devil to get in. And what's he do? If he gets a foothold, he'll build a stronghold. If he gets a foot, if he just gets a step inside the door of your life, of your temple, if you're a temple, if you're a house of God, guess what? You have doors, you have windows. There's access that the enemy is trying to get his way into your life. Anger is one of those easy entry points for him. Bitterness, offense, that's one of the easiest entry points for him to get in, to get that foothold. And if he gets the foothold, he'll take as much as you'll let him. And he will build a stronghold. It's a living place. That's those words in the Greek. These are places where people live, where people dwell. That's what demons want. You can be a temple of the Holy Spirit, but guess what? He dwells within you at the center, but you can still give room to the enemy. The temple in ancient Israel, it had many rooms. And so when we look at the temple, it's a shadow for what we see in the New Testament. If we are now temples of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, we need to understand we can look at the Old Testament and we have a description of what the temple said it was like, what God's word says the temple was like. And it had many rooms. And so, yes, at the center, that was where his presence dwelled within the ark. But around the edges of this building, inside, there were many other rooms. And in some of these other rooms, what was going on? In Ezekiel, it talks about this. There was demonic worship happening. The devil had gotten a foothold within God's temple. Within the same building, within the same house where people came to worship the Lord, there were also those behind closed doors that were worshiping demons. That's what demons do today. That's their strategy. They want a foothold into your life. And so, yes, you have God in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but he wants to cleanse the entire temple. That's deliverance. That's healing. That's freedom. He wants to work out everything that is in you that does not belong, that is not of him, that is not from him. That's freedom. That's sanctification. When the Bible talks about sanctification, the renewing of our minds, that's what we see there. I knew this was going to happen. I knew I was going to give everybody my notes and then I was going to jump around. Romans 7, I'm jumping. All right, so if you're looking at notes with me, you might want to jump down a little bit. Romans 7 here. This is Paul. Look at this passage. Go to Romans 7, verse 13. If you're looking at notes, just scroll on down to the bottom there. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual. We are soul, spirit, and body. We're three parts. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, what I want to do, that I do not practice. For what I hate, that's what I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Once again, that word there, dwells, it's a word for living in a house. Sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For two will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I want to do, I do not do. You ever been here before? You know what you should do. You know the good that you should do, and you want to do it, but you don't do it. But the evil that I don't want to do, I keep practicing. I keep doing it. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. You know what you should do. You know what you shouldn't do, but you keep doing it anyway. It's because the devil's gotten a foothold. And he's having his way. But Jesus wants to free you. Jesus wants to deliver you fully and wholly in your life, in every area of your life. If you feel like right now in your life, like this is you, like you just keep walking through this and you're like, this is just who I'm always going to be. I'm always going to struggle like this. I'm always going to be tempted like this. I'm always going to give into this temptation and I'm just going to keep doing it. And I know I shouldn't do it and I don't want to do it, but I just keep on doing it. Let me tell you something. There's freedom and deliverance for you. You just got to go to the deliverer. Like, that's why we do deliverance ministry. We have it available. You can go on our website. You can get signed up for that. But I'm telling you, deliverance begins to walk you out in freedom into the spiritual authority we were called as sons and daughters to walk in. To begin to take captive these thoughts that don't come from the Holy Spirit, that don't belong within us, these thoughts that have built up a stronghold within us, and we think this is just how it's always going to be and I have to settle for this. No. As you begin to walk out deliverance, you begin to walk out spiritual authority and take these thoughts captive, you tear them down in the name of Jesus and you begin to walk in freedom and fullness of life that you never thought was possible, that you never realized you could fully walk in. That's what he wants for your life. And so if you're here today and you're just feeling that, you're just feeling like that shame and that guilt, I keep doing what I don't want to do and I know I don't want to do it, but I keep doing it. Let me tell you something, there's hope for you today. In fact, you're here today for a reason. In fact, when we offer ministry time at the end, you just need to know there's no shame or no condemnation. This is spiritual. This is freedom. This is what Jesus came for. He came to set the captives free. He wants you free today. So don't be ashamed in that moment. The devil wants you to be ashamed. The devil wants you to sit there and act like you got everything together and pretend like you are spiritual, like you're religious. But no. Jesus says, no, you need to walk in freedom. And when you bring it into the light, there's freedom. Because when the darkness is exposed, you find out it has no hold on you anymore. Repentance and confession brings about freedom. It does, because what you're doing is you're bringing what's in the dark, what's been hiding within the rooms within you that do not belong, sin that dwells within us, you bring it out into the light and you confess it and you realize it has no power and it has no hold over you. And you come up and you share that for the first time with somebody, what's been going on, and you're like, they're going to think I'm this or I'm that. Who told you that? That's a lie from the devil. The devil told you that. They're going to think this about the, they're going to shame me. I'm going to lose this. They're not going to even want me to be a part of this church anymore. No. We're going to praise and celebrate what Jesus is doing in you, what Jesus is doing in all of us. Like he's setting people free. So when you see us have ministry time at the end, you need to realize there's no shame or condemnation. No, there's celebration. That's what we do. When we have this moment, when you come to the altar, you come to Jesus and you seek freedom, there is no shame or condemnation. There's only freedom at the cross. He turns bitterness to sweetness. There's sweetness at his feet. Set your eyes upon him today. Go back here, Romans 7 again. This is a deliverance passage. This is what he's talking about. Verse 21, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. In his spirit, he delights in God. But in his soul, he still feels a little soulish. Or in his flesh, he still feels some of these desires. And God is delivering him. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. He is talking about his struggle. And here's some of us. We come in here, we're like, I don't struggle. I'm fine. I'm good. The Apostle Paul was struggling. And he was still walking out every day his deliverance, his freedom, more and more into the fullness that Christ had came for, that Christ had paid for. Humble yourself. Humble ourselves. If Paul can walk in humility, how much more should we walk in humility and vulnerability? But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, in his body. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There, chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We don't walk according to the flesh. We walk according to the Spirit. Here, let me just give you a testimony. Here, let me give you a moment of confession and repentance. On, what was this? Thursday night, I'm at my son's baseball game. And he's been on this same team for a couple years. And this year, half the team went over to this other team. And they went with these coaches that were with our team last year. And they just kind of decided, hey, they're going to start their own team. And I just, at the beginning of the season, that first practice, I just saw like the disappointment in my son, like in his eyes and the hurt that he was experiencing. And I just felt that. As a father, I just felt that for him. Because these were a lot of his friends that he'd been playing with, that he goes to school with. And now all of a sudden, they're over here on this other team. And I kind of asked our coach, I said, what happened there? And he said, they didn't tell me. They didn't talk to me. They basically just like started this own team. Like didn't have a conversation with me, nothing. And so I was just kind of, let me tell you something. I gave the devil a foothold. I was mad. I was bitter. I was angry. I was offended. I was. Now, there's something in me sometimes where I feel like, man, I need to call stuff out sometimes. And there's a place for that. When the Holy Spirit tells you, when he gives you the nod, when he gives you permission, when he gives you that word, and you walk in obedience to him in that moment. But sometimes we can do the right thing the wrong way. And so in my head, I've been kind of talking to God about this, and I really thought, like, oh, I need to go tell these guys what they did was wrong. Like, somebody's got to do it. Like, why not me? Like, I'll do it. And so that whole game, I was just kind of sitting there. I felt that bitterness and anger. And Paul also talks a lot about praying in the Spirit. And if you don't know anything about praying in the Spirit, if you want to know more, come ask one of our pastors. Come ask, like, somebody after service. Come ask somebody on our ministry team. We'll talk about it with you. But it's a gift from the Lord. It is. I knew nothing about it for most of my life. And all of a sudden, when somebody began to teach me and God began to open my eyes to what his word says, Paul says, I wish all of you could pray in the Spirit. And you can. If you want it, if you ask him, he's a good father. He'll give you that gift. He says, it's a gift. And as I begin to pray in the Spirit, it just helps me. I've begun to realize it just sets my mind on him. It changes my mind to focus more on him, more on the things he desires. It's made me more spiritually minded than worldly minded. And a lot of times I'll go to my kids' games, and I mean, if you look close enough, sometimes Steph and I, we have to split up for games. Like, she has to take some kids somewhere. So there's a lot of games. I'm just kind of sitting there out in the outfield, and I'm just kind of on my own. I'm sitting in this chair, and if you look close enough, you'll see my lips just moving, and I'm just praying in the Spirit, and I'm just worshiping, and I'm just talking to God, and I'm just listening to his voice. And some people might walk by, and if they look close enough, they might be like, that guy might be crazy. In the book of Acts, they said they thought they were drunk when the Holy Spirit came down and they began praying in tongues. And so that's what I usually do when I'm at these games. And so I'm at his game on Thursday, and I didn't want to be in the Spirit. I wanted to be in my soul. I wanted to be in my flesh. And so usually when I would be praying in the Spirit, I wouldn't do it. And I just kept feeling the Holy Spirit saying, just come back to me, come back to me. And I kept my mouth shut. I was just like, no, I want to be mad right now, Lord. I want to be, because I want to say what I want to say at the end of this game. They hurt my son. They hurt some of these kids on here. They hurt this coach. And so I didn't pray in the Spirit. And let me tell you something. I quenched the Holy Spirit that night. And I did the right thing, but I did it the wrong way. And I went over and had that conversation. I thought, oh, I'll feel better after that. I didn't feel better. I didn't. Like, I didn't feel better. And the Holy Spirit just kept hitting me with, it wasn't a bad thing that you did, but you didn't listen to my voice. You didn't cuss at them. You didn't swear at them. You didn't, shame or condemn them. You just came over and you had a conversation. And it's good. We need to have those conversations. But if you're doing them and you're quenching the Holy Spirit, you're not doing them the right way. You're not doing them his way. Saul, King Saul, all the way back in 1 Samuel. He did the right thing, but he did it the wrong way. God wanted them to make a sacrifice before they went to war. And he saw his people beginning to leave because they were fearful. And Samuel the prophet hadn't shown up yet. And Saul was just getting nervous because he saw people leaving. He saw fear kind of begin to spread. And when fear begins to spread, then we kind of get nervous and we begin to think, oh, I need to take things into my own hands. I need to do this. I don't think God's going to show up. I don't think God's man is going to show up. He's not coming. So I need to make the sacrifice and do the right thing. I need to do it. And I'm going to do it my way. You can do the right thing, but if it's not God's way, it becomes the wrong thing. I tell you all that because, well, so many things. But one of the most powerful gifts that he wants to give you is praying in the Spirit. It's a heavenly language. And all of a sudden, it takes you out of your flesh and it takes you out of your soul. It takes you out of the cares of this world. And it just takes you to a place where you just, man, you become so set on his presence and what he's doing and what he's speaking to you. He begins to well words up within you. He begins to well verses up inside of you. He begins to well songs of worship and praise up within you. As you pray in this heavenly language, it's a gift. And so in this house, we don't shame or condemn people for praying in the Spirit or for not praying in the Spirit. We fight for unity. We fight for love. But I do believe he wants you to know today it is a gift and he has it for you and he's a good father. He gives his children good gifts. For some people, there's this idea that praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues is demonic. Because we've seen it abused, or we've heard that it's been abused in all these other places. And once again, I would tell you, go back to the garden. Who told you that? What does his word say? Go back to his word. Go back and read 1 Corinthians. Go back and read Jude. Go back and read Ephesians. What's Paul, what's Jude say? Pray in the Spirit at all times. It builds us up. It edifies us. It strengthens us. It takes us out of our carnal desires and into his desires, into what he's called us into. He sanctifies us through that building up, that edification. He begins to strengthen you in a way that you didn't know that you could walk in. When you first became a believer, you might have looked at other believers, you might have thought, they're kind of crazy, I'm never going to get to that point. But as you begin to like pray in the Spirit, and you begin to jump into his word and eat from his word, you begin to realize he's strengthening you and building up your faith in a way that you never realized was possible. He loves you, and he doesn't want you to just stay where you're at. He doesn't want you to stay trapped and stuck in the same old mindset with the same old strongholds, with the same old lies having power over you. No, he wants you to walk in freedom today. He loves you. He's a good father. He wants you to walk in healing today. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That word, to proclaim liberty, it's deliver. To deliver the captives. And recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty, to deliver those who are oppressed. Worship team, I'll invite you guys up as we get ready to close it out here. Some of you guys, if you're following along in your notes, you realize I got two or three more sermons left. You know, you're like, he's got a lot of scripture to go. I'm like, you know, that's good. There's so much I want to tell you today. When I was sitting there, and I was mad and I was angry, and then I was driving home, and I was like, why am I still mad and angry after I did what I thought I was supposed to do? And I thought telling those people, like, hey, you were wrong, you handled this poorly, you hurt a lot of people, I thought that was going to make me feel better. And I'm driving home, and I'm like, why don't I feel better? Jesus tells us, Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Inspect the fruit. Inspect the fruit in your own life. That's what I started to do that night. As I was driving home, and I got home, and I was sitting there on the couch, and I was like, God, why don't I feel better? And I was just kind of mad and frustrated. I was like, and I just felt him saying that. And just inspect the fruit. What's the fruit? Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Inspect the fruit, son. I said, okay. Do I have love right now? No. Do you feel joy right now? No. What about peace? No. What about patience? Well, I sat through that whole game and didn't go up right in the middle of the game. He's like, that's not patience. Kindness. Goodness. No, no. Faithfulness. No, I quenched his spirit. That's what he kept coming back to. You didn't want to hear what I had to say to you that night. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. Ask yourself. He wants to speak to you. He loves you. Every one of you in here, he loves you, and he wants to speak to you. And if you'll begin to invite him in and say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I want to listen to you. I want to walk with you. And you'll begin to see and hear what he's saying to you. And he'll give you little moments. He'll give you little whispers. And he'll say, just trust me with this. Today when I came up here, do you think I wanted to take my shoes off? No, I like those shoes. They're cool. But he gave me a whisper. What's he care about? Sacrifice or obedience? Obedience. Listen to my voice, son. That's what he keeps saying to me. Test the fruit. If you're not experiencing this fruit in your life right now, as you begin to test this, as you begin to go through this list, and you begin to say, am I feeling this? Am I experiencing this? Am I walking in this? That's the way you test whether you're walking in the Holy Spirit or another spirit. He wants you to walk in freedom today. And so if there's anything that you just feel like today, you're being just convicted on, you feel like, I want to tear this down in my life. I don't want this thing, this lie, this enemy to have a foothold or a stronghold anymore in my life. I just want to walk in freedom. Our ministry team's going to be up front. My wife and I are up front. Our elders right here, Brandon and Jessica, they're up front. You can come up for prayer today. Justin and Reagan. Go ask somebody in the room for prayer today. If you want to walk in freedom, if you're sick of walking as a captive today, you don't have to walk as a captive anymore. You don't have to walk in religion anymore. Who the Son set free is free indeed. Let's stand up and worship today.